The situation inside the hangar appeared even worse from the cockpit of Jason's starskiff than in the glimpses he had been stealing through his sister's eyes. Kip's rescue squadron was more like a squadron and a half, including Tam Azerjaman, Kirana T, and half a dozen bearable Jedi Knights from Saba's old Wild Knight Squadron. Corrin Horn's group was equally large, with two Council Masters, Tresina Lobby and Kenth Hamner among them. The two sides were arguing fiercely, almost violently, and it was clear that no one was listening to anyone. "What's all that about?" Ben asked from the co-pilot seat. "It feels like they're ready to slug each other."
"They are," Jason said. "It has something to do with a mission to rescue Master Sebatine and my mother, and maybe your father and mine. It's a little unclear."
"To rescue them?" Ben cried. "What's wrong?"
"I don't know yet," Jason said. "But don't worry about it."
"Why not?"
"Because I'm not."
Jason put the skiff down on the side of the stealth X's farthest from the argument. "And I have two parents involved." By the time Jason shut the craft down, Jaina and Zek had left the argument and were picking their way through the Stealth X squadron toward the starskiff. Jason grabbed Ben's travel bag, then lowered the boarding ramp. Ben raced down the ramp and immediately confronted Jaina.
"Where's Mom? What happened to Dad and Uncle Han and Aunt Leia?"
"Nothing. They're okay," Jaina said.
"Why do you think something has happened to them?"
Zek asked. Ben pointed across the hangar.
"Because you're arguing about whether to rescue them or not, aren't you?"
Jaina and Zek raised their round eyes to Jason.
"It's not my fault," Jason said. "He could feel it in the Force. So can half the students in the academy, I'm sure."
They blinked together and looked back to Ben.
"It's not that kind of rescue mission," Jaina explained. "No one's in danger right now."
"The Killiks are sort of holding your father and Uncle Han," Zek explained. "And we're, discussing whether we should allow that."
Ben considered this a moment, then frowned in suspicion.
"Why aren't you talking about Mom and Aunt Leia?"
"Because they're in even less danger," Jaina said. "They're being held by the Galactic Alliance on a Star Destroyer."
"So no one's in danger?" Ben asked.
"Not yet," Zek said.
"Then what's everyone arguing about?"
Ben shook his head in disappointment. "Dad wouldn't like that."
"There are a lot of things happening right now he wouldn't like," Zek said. "That's why we're trying to get him back."
Cal Omus appointed Corrin Horn temporary leader of the Jedi Order. Jaina pointed out to Jason.
"Some of us don't like it," Zek added.
Jason continued to study the argument.
"Does this have anything to do with the colony?"
"Everything," Jaina said.
They told him the highlights. From Raynar blaming the Jedi for the Fizz attacks on the Utagetu nests, to the colony's return to the Chiss border. Then they summarized Silgal's theory about the stuff being a self-replicating nanotech terraforming system and what they knew about Leia and Saba's detention by the Galactic Alliance. They finished by noting Chief Omus's attempt to take control of the Jedi Order by appointing Corrin Horn its temporary leader.
"And you can see how well that's working," Jaina said.
"Half the Order thinks we need to mount rescue missions for Mom and Saba and Dad and Uncle Luke."
"And the other half thinks we need to support the blockade and intimidate the colony into pulling out of the buffer zone,"
Zek added.
"Meanwhile, the Killiks are establishing nests all along the Chiss frontier."
Jason felt the blood drain from his face, and he saw again the burning planets and the spaceships carrying flames from system to system. He saw the hands of humans and Chiss and Killiks setting those fires, saw the whole galaxy going up in one eternal blaze.
"Jason?"
"What's wrong?" Jaina asked. "Jason?"